February 10th, 2015, ICANN 52, call your room, GAC sessions PM, 1400 to 1800.
Hello, thank you for being here again. I hope you had a nice lunchtime. As you know, we have the discussion about possible GAC participation in the NOMCOM, and I'm happy to have the current chair of the NOMCOM with me, whose name is Stefan van Gelder, and I will stop here and give the floor to Stefan to say a few words to us. Welcome, Stefan. Bienvenue.
Thanks very much, Thomas. It's a pleasure to be here, and it's taken a lot of work, actually, just to be here. So I want to thank both Thomas, Olga, and Gemma and others who have worked very hard with us to make sure that we are able to engage, speak, and perhaps ask a few questions of each other so that we understand each other more. I do have a presentation for you, but we also have a few, let's say, open issues that we'd like to put on the table and make sure that we can at least get some clarification on the way the GAC sees the NOMCOM and the way it might involve itself in the NOMCOM. So perhaps I can just very quickly remind, if I can have the first slide of the presentation, just very quickly remind you all what it is we're doing this year. We're looking for to fill three seats on the board. We're looking to fill three seats on the at-large advisory committee, two seats on the GNSO Council, and one seat on the CCNSO Council. And if you, next slide, please. If you look at the current board makeup, you'll see that in Asia PAC, we're already oversubscribed, and that means that we have a bylaw limitation which stops us from being able to select anyone from Asia PAC for this year for the board, but in the other regions we can still select. Next slide, please. That's our timeline, very quickly, just to tell you that our current application period ends mid-March, and we will then be selecting and expecting to finish that in Buenos Aires and then be ready to announce a new slate of candidates by the AGM this year. Next slide, please. That's just to give you an information and snapshot on what's happening right now. This is live as we are right now in terms of applications. So these are the numbers of applications that we've received so far. This is actually a high number for this stage of the proceedings. So as you may or may not know, the NOMCOM has been doing a lot more outreach recently. We've increased the transparency of our process, we are making sure that people know about what the NOMCOM does and how to apply. I will stress that the candidate data is and has always remained confidential. But we are talking about the process a lot more, and that's helped us, I think, outreach and get people involved. So we've got 43 people who have already applied for the board as their first choice, 11 for the GNSO as their first choice, 15 for ALAC as their first choice, and 8 for the CCNSO as their first choice. Next slide, please. And that's just a few links. So that's the end of the presentation. I wanted to make that very quick. If I can just get on to the topic of who is the NOMCOM engagement with the GAC or the GAC's engagement with the NOMCOM, some of the questions that we have right now and that we're coming to you with, and perhaps we can start a conversation just to understand a bit more. Our questions are, and we reached out to see if the current position on the NOMCOM that's open to the GAC can be filled, with the assumptions that it is difficult for you to fill that position because you have several issues as government representatives. You are here representing your governments. Is it easy for you to take part or participate in a committee like the NOMCOM as an individual? Are there issues of confidentiality that might be troubling you? And if so, can we help at least solve those issues or answer some of the questions you might have. Is there a potential conflict in selecting people from this space to represent the GAC and all the GAC membership on the NOMCOM as one person representing the GAC membership? Is that a problem for the GAC? So those are questions that we're asking ourselves and that we're hopeful this discussion can help doing, can help lift. And I'll finish with a couple of things. The first is that, as I'm sure you all know, there's a process ongoing. There's a board working group on NOMCOM improvements that's put in a set of recommendations that are now being discussed by the community. Those recommendations suggest a change to the structure of the NOMCOM, and that impacts the GAC a lot. So that's also something that we may want to discuss at some point. There's actually a NOMCOM review that's about to start, which is a separate process. As you know, most ICANN groups get reviewed periodically, but that's separate to the board working group recommendation. So there's lots going on, and there's lots going on involving both the NOMCOM and the GAC. And just to finish, I'd like to acknowledge that you have in this room lots of people that are wearing red lanyards like myself. They are all committee members, so most of them I see sitting over there, and we use the red lanyards to identify ourselves, help candidates or prospective candidates come up and talk to us if they need to. That's also true for other members of the community. So if your questions or if you have questions that you don't feel you want to ask now, please come up and see us and later on, and we'll be happy to help. And I also just like to acknowledge my co-leaders who are at the table here with me at the far end, Cheryl Langdonor, who's the associate chair of this year. She was chair last year. And you're seeing in that the excellent, I think, succession leadership planning that exists on the NOMCOM. That extends to the person sitting next to me here, Ron Andruff, who was selected by the board to be chair-elect this year. So there's a presumption that unless he does something majorly wrong, he will be chair next year. So that's it from me. And Thomas, back to you for any questions.
Thank you. For your information, we will have the availability of Stefan and his team for the whole session, so we will be able to answer questions to them, and they will be there for clarification. So because of that, I will not give the floor for questions now. I will immediately hand over the floor to Olga that will present some of the work of the GAC Working Group on NOMCOM. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much for the NOMCOM, for the visit. Many friends in the NOMCOM, that's very good. I will very briefly present the work that has been done by a working group that we started in the Los Angeles meeting. If we can go to the next one. We started after Los Angeles meeting reviewing the possibilities of an active or no involvement of GAC in the NOMCOM. Why did it happen? Because we had a presentation with a new proposed NOMCOM structure that was for public comments until a while ago. And it, as very well said, was said by Stefan, it impacts the participation, impacts the GAC, but it proposes active participation, voting participation from the GAC. So we had some exchange of ideas over email list. We had one conference call. There is a background document that I sent to you, to the GAC list, I think a week ago. And I have some ideas from that exchange that I will show to you in this moment. So why did we start this exchange of ideas? Can we go to the next one, please? There you have the two composition of the NOMCOM, the present one, which with 15 voting members, where the GAC has a non-voting seat that is presently not using, not participating with a non-voting seat. And then there is a new proposal expanded the membership of the NOMCOM from 15 to 23 or 25, where the GAC has a proposed participation of three voting members. Just for your information, some countries did prepare a document expressing our interest. One of them was Argentina, expressing our interest that we have an equal footing in the amount of voting members as the ALEC, GA, and the CCNSO having a representation of the five regions. Of course, this was not a document endorsed by the whole GAC, but by some governments that are represented in the GAC. Can we go to the next one? So, which were the challenges and the ideas that we exchange among us in the working group, and we exchange in Los Angeles also after this new proposed composition of the GAC, of the NONCOM? Some countries thought that an equal footing for participation of governments in all the ICANN spaces and processes and working groups was a major part of the multi-stakeholder process, and it's also a mandate from the WISIS documents and all the internet governance concept of the equal footing of the participation, where the governments are one stakeholder as the other ones. So also some of us, perhaps many of us, thought that a governmental perspective in the selection of the ICANN leadership roles was important, not only a business perspective or a civil society one, but also having some governmental perspective in that selection. There were some limitations expressed by some members, some confidentiality requirements for GAC representation in the NONCOM. When consulting back to our administrations, we are not individuals participating in the GAC. We are representatives of our government. So there is a limitation about that. Also, some countries express concerns why a member of a government cannot be appointed as a board member. This is a different discussion, but it also came up in the exchange of ideas. And we think that all this is linked to a broader discussion which is related with the accountability and the balanced participation of governments in all the ICANN process in an equal footing. Can we go to the next one, please? So, as a result of these deliberations, we have prepared some triggering questions for you. I think they are they bring more ideas to what Stefan presented a few minutes ago. There was some consensus among the members of the working group in developing some criteria that the GAC could prepare for the selection of some leadership positions that could be taken in consideration by the members of the NONCOM. So that would be somehow agreed. We would like to have some feedback from you if you think that's a good idea, that the working group could start working on that. And by the way, in the draft document that we sent to you, there are some suggestions of the first draft of those criteria that were prepared by HEMA. And thank you very much, HEMA, for that. Also, we requested the ALAC, their own criteria for the NONCOM work that they do, and they were so kind to send us. So in the document that we sent to you, there is a part of it that it's relevant to our work. About confidentiality, and that would be a question to our friends from the NONCOM, if we can perhaps have more detail about what does it mean and what it implies in the work of the NONCOM in the work of the voting members or just observing members of the NONCOM. Could we think about innovative solutions and how to solve this? Can we use other examples of where the governments participate in the selection of or in a process where there are some representativity of governments in work? I remember the MAG. I was a member of the MAG for many years. And we were individuals, but some of us represented governments. It is not the same. We had no confidentiality, but it's just an example. Could we think about other examples and how these problems were solved or not? other concerns behind the GAC participation in the non-com. It's only the confidentiality issue. It's a fear of being a space being captured by governments or a space being captured by some other participants or by some other stakeholders. Are there other fears that we have or problems that we may find other than those that we could identify? And which could be the advantages and disadvantages of the GAC participation in NOMCOM? One thing that we thought about starting to work in the working group is preparing for the GAC during the next month, perhaps to show you during the Buenos Aires meeting different options of what would be the scenarios for an involvement of the GAC from the just an observing position up to voting positions and see among us if this is something that could be done by the GAC or not. So I think I will stop here. There is something more? Some other slide? These are a summary of the ideas for guidelines that HEMA prepared, which would be the requirements for a selectee by the non-com, having a governmental perspective, having worked for a sustainable period of time for a national government or an international governmental organization, dedication and achievements in advancing public interest in areas that are relevant for ICANN, being experienced in building partnerships or agreements among different parties, and geographic gender and language diversity if the number of GAC selected members is higher than one. And I think this is the last... slide, can we go? Yes, okay. So what we expect from you, give us some feedback about this. The work will not stop here. It starts from here on until the next meeting. Let's help us define the next steps and any other ideas. I will stop here. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Olga, for this presentation. So now the floor is yours. Please comment, give feedback, ask questions. Thank you very much. Who would like to start? The United States.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to Stefan and the members of the nominating committee for joining us today. It's a useful opportunity for us to be better educated, I believe, as to the nature of your work and the confidentiality requirements in particular. I'm going to date myself with my next comments, and Cheryl will get a big giggle out of that. Having been here and doing this for, it's embarrassing to say, about 11 years, the NOMCOM issue, the issue of the GAC participation, is actually an old one. This is not new, per se. And I do remember being a fairly new GAC member and not even knowing there was a GAC representative on the NOMCOM, which triggered some interesting discussions within the GAC. I think it was during 2006, 2007, to understand precisely what it meant. And the more we learned, the more, I think, for several of us, we had some questions. And I think, Stefan, you teed it up very nicely at the outset. Governments are rather different from other members of the ICANN community, and so there is we are constrained, if you will. I know I certainly am. I am not here in a personal capacity in any way, shape, or form. I am here solely to represent the United States government, and I travel under instruction and guidance, et cetera, and I imagine most, if not all, of my colleagues are in the same boat. So there is a bit of a constraint in that we are actually not empowered to extend any responsibility that we are meant to hold for our sovereign interests to another person or entity, much less to another government. So when we get to NOMCOM and our understanding, speaking solely for the United States, so I welcome you being here because perhaps you can correct any misunderstandings we might have. The GAC, in light of the board working group recommendation that we increase the current GAC option of having one, which we haven't had for many, many years now, to three, raises the very same questions that, in fact, the GAC addressed years ago and included in a chapter in the June 2011 Joint GAC Board Working Group on a lot of these issues that came out of ATRT1, I believe. And we laid out the challenges at the time. So just bear with me as I try to sort of explain my understanding. The vast majority of the work of the NOMCOM, and you can tell me what percentage it is in fact highly confidential and must be, because you are dealing with the names and the qualifications of individuals, human beings. And so the challenge for us as a government in considering whether we could empower a GAC colleague to give a GAC view is that it strikes us that it's almost impossible to give a GAC view, because there can be no discussion within the GAC as GAC of these individuals and their qualifications. And the more we thought about it in the United States, it kind of even goes one step further. It isn't even so much that we would be granting another government the right to pass judgment on our behalf. We would be granting that right to a human being, an individual who happens to work for a government. And that is even more challenging. So just to sort of make it very mundane and prosaic, I have struggled with how I would write a briefing memo to the Secretary of Commerce or anybody else in my management as to how it was that I decided to cede some decision-making authority to an individual to speak on my behalf. We haven't figured out how to explain that and how to explain the value add to the NOMCOM, because you wouldn't be getting a GAC view. You wouldn't even be getting an individual government view, it strikes us, because that person could not consult with their own government. There are some constraints. So you can clarify whether I am misunderstanding those constraints. But we have tried to think this through from a number of perspectives. We do think, and we'd like to think that you would find it helpful, we do think it's possible for the GAC to probably reach consensus on some criteria that we think would be useful for you to take into account without in any way appearing to try to direct your work, because obviously you all know exactly what you are, you know, have been tasked to do, and you have sorted your own working methods and how you would proceed. But we do think, if you think it would be helpful, that that could be something the GAC could certainly work on and arrive at a consensus approach to criteria as opposed to direct representation. So I'll just stop at that point and see if any of this resonates. It seems to be.
Thank you very much, United States. Before we give the floor to Stefan and others from the NOMCOM, I would like to ask for a few more comments, if possible, from the GAC, and then we can maybe answer them all together. So any more views, comments, questions from Spain and then Switzerland?
Thank you, Chair. On the issue of criteria, I think it would be worth pursuing that path and drafting criteria for the NOMCOM to take into account when they make their selection. But I wonder how long this criteria would go if they have to take into account also ALAC criteria or their own criteria for selecting appointees to different councils and bodies. We may find ourselves in a situation in which the board members selected by the NOMCOM don't meet any of the GAC's criteria, and they we wouldn't be able to claim anything against that decision, because it's just criteria they have on the table, and they may decide whether or not to apply and how to apply them. So that's the reason why we think that it could be worth to say that a number of board members, which could be one, maybe, have to fulfill the specific criteria set out by the GAC. Thus, we would ensure that the governmental perspective is brought to the board, or maybe the other councils that are where non-com selects members. Thank you.
Thank you, Spain, Switzerland, and then China.
Je vais parler en français.
Mr. Chair, what we are asking, it's Switzerland speaking, what we are asking to the other GAC members is to be considered when decisions are made, so that we may say what we are willing to say. So we can see what are the members of the non-com. The non-com will make certain decisions in following some confidential processes. And so a lot of issues are raised. First of all, we would have to choose these three people, three representatives. I think that's the number. We would like to know what will be the criteria to select these three representatives. And once they are elected, I don't know if you can give me some other explanation, but if we are within a confidential process, we are given these three people the possibility of doing whatever they like regarding the members of the non-com. These three representatives won't be able to come here and to tell us what are the candidates for the board, because it's a confidential procedure. So I think there are lots of issues that at least are not easy for me to understand. On the other hand, and with respect to these three representatives, how can we predict how they are going to vote? Because this is another issue. Since they are government representatives, I think that before moving ahead, we have to find a solution to these problems. And I clearly understand the questions that my colleague from the United States has posed. It's not easy. Perhaps we're not in the same position as other representatives of a GNSO, CCNSO, or the ALAC. We have representation that was given to us, and we are not speaking on our own behalf, but on behalf of our governments, our administration. This is what I wanted to say at that point. Thomas Schneider speaking. Now China takes the floor.
Firstly, we are fully support that GAC that should have more active participation in the work of the NORCOM, which means that we think that both in terms of increasing the number of the seats from seats of representative from GAC, and also we think it's very important for GAC to have the voting seat in the NORCOM. And we think that this is in line with that our intention to enhance GAC's role in the under the framework of ICANN, and in particular to have GAC more involved in the selection of the leadership of ICANN. And as for the procedure or criteria for selecting these representatives from GAC, as well as how we to deal with the issue of confidentiality, we think it might be helpful for us to refer to the practice of other advisory committee or supporting organizations, their way of selecting their activity, their representatives, and their way to deal with the issue of confidentiality. As for the concern raised by United States representative We think that once we have the representative from GAC, this to the NOMCOM, he's responsible for the whole GAC, rather than responsible for his for the government that he's coming from, and I think he should be pursuing the interest or the governmental aspect in the rather than the interest of his own country or territory. Thank you.
Thank you, China. Before we give the floor to other GAC members, I think it would be good to get a little bit of a response to what we've heard as comments and questions from people from the NOMCOM. So the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Thomas, and thank you to all of you for your questions. I'll start answering in French Switzerland's questions, seeing they spoke in French and then switch back to English. Pour la Suisse, juste.
So, for Switzerland, with respect to confidentiality, I would dare say that our work today at the NOMCOM, most of the work carried out is a non-confidential work. Because we consider all the administrative aspects of our work in an open and transparent manner. The only thing that is confidential, and I hope that this concept will understand you move in your discussions, the only confidential aspect of our work is the information regarding the identity of the candidates at the NOMCOM. This is something that will not appear mentioned in NOMCOM communications, and I'm speaking about external communications. You will never see the information about the candidates regarding their identities for reasons that are clear.
That were raised, and I want to stress that for us this is very much a first or initial step in a conversation that I hope we will be having for a long time to come over the years. There are obviously lots of problems that you have all mentioned, or issues maybe that you've all mentioned that I'm not sure it's up to the NOMCOM to solve, or even that we have any ability to solve beyond trying to help you to understand how we work and how the GAC might fit into that work. So the issue of government representatives talking for other governments, etc., I think is a bit difficult for us to get to. But I would like to say that what we did this year was look at the current structure. I had, as incoming chair, a little information on why, coming back to Suzanne's point, on why the past NOMCOMs did not have GAC representation. So rather than just base my work on limited information or rumors, I reached out to your leadership to try and get the conversation going. And that's really where we are at this stage, I think. The number of seats, there was a point about the number of seats that the NOMCOM GAC reps, the number of GAC reps that might be sent to the NOMCOM, that also is an issue that I think is out of our hands. What we are looking at right now is a structure that has one seat for the GAC. If that changes in the future, then obviously we will look at what changes are made. But right now, the issue is it possible to have GAC representation through that one seat? I will say that the suggestion from the United States that you send us criteria, things, let's just call it things that you'd like us to look at when we make our selections, I think is a very, very helpful suggestion. We go out to all the groups that make up this community and ask them for skill sets, ideas, what are they looking for, what's useful. Obviously, the choices we make impact the whole community. So getting that from the GAC would be an excellent thing, and that may be a first step down the process, down the road on this process. I'm not sure. Another thing that I really wanted to explain to you is that the current membership, the others, non-GAC membership of the NOMCOM, they have a rule that, for example, so you get people elected from the GNSO community to the NOMCOM, but once they're in that NOMCOM room, they leave their affiliation behind, and they really are acting as individuals for the best interest of the community. So we are not expecting, just to stay on that example, we are not expecting the NOMCOM GNSO representatives to only act in the interest of the GNSO. Perhaps that's something that's useful for your deliberations and debates as well. And I'll just close with saying that I understand the issue and the problems with GAC representation anywhere. Some of you may know that I was chair of the GNSO previously, and that was a problem that was very much in evidence when I was chairing the GNSO, how to get GAC participation in GNSO work or policy work. So I understand that since then there have been has been progress with a GNSO liaison to the GAC, and perhaps there are ways of finding solutions with the NOMCOM situation that may be similar to what you've found elsewhere. Thank you.
Yes, Ron, please. Thank you, Chair. Just a footnote to what Stefan has explained about the criteria.
Sorry, for the scribes, it's Ron Andruff and not Ram Mohan. Thank you.
Ron Andruff, not Ram Mohan. speaking to Spain, there was the question of criteria. Would we accept your criteria over another's criteria? I think it's really important for everyone in this room to understand that we accept all the criteria that is given to us from all of the various bodies within ICANN. And then we try to harmonize that in so much as we look at all of it and then we bring it to the committee. We as the leadership team bring it to the committee saying these are the things we're looking for this year. And I would couple that with the dynamic that every year the dynamics around ICANN change. So, for example, we used to be dealing with new GTLDs and now we're dealing with transition. As we move into a transition phase, we may look for board members who have different qualities than the ones we were looking at for the GTLDs, for example. So it's very much a year-by-year dynamic, and all the criteria, we reach out each year asking each of the various parts of ICANN to please give us their criteria so that we can indeed try to fulfill what the community is asking, and we certainly view the GAC as part of the community. Thank you.
Thank you. As time is running, I understand that Cheryl would like to speak briefly. Then I would go back to governments, and I have Kuwait and Argentina. So Cheryl, please. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl Langdon, all for the transcript record, and it will be brief. The issue of confidentiality and voting are the things I wanted to quickly come into, and I really do welcome the offer of bringing us some criteria. That's going to be hugely important and very, very valuable. But I think we also need to understand, as we are now unpeeling what used to be a very secretive and hidden environment, peeling off the layers, we want to help you understand. We vote, watching my hand, this many times. It is a pro forma vote, single, that accepts the final slate as it has been discussed and developed. And perhaps that type of information will help you in your deliberations as well. Some of our administrivia, whilst we've put it out here, is not understood. So any question that you have that can help in your deliberations, I think we all stand to assist you. But, you know, there is one vote in the NomCom at the very end, and it's a piece of pro forma formality to accept the final slate. That's the type of thing that I think might be helpful as we navigate this conversation. And I'll stop there. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Q8, please.
Thank you, Thomas. If the criteria that I'm an individual acting in the NomCom, doing my selection for the best of the community, we as government reps, we are not elected or selected in, like others, member of the NomCom. We are here representing our governments, and we are here part of the GAC. So I will either represent my government or I will be a representative in the GAC, in that a representative of the GAC. It means I will share the information about a candidate either with my government or even with GAC members. So the issue of confidentiality, according to the nature of my role or my involvement in the organization, cannot be taken as an individual. I am not here acting as an individual, and unless the GAC in my search says you can act as an individual, and I doubt that very much. That's one. Our role, and I would question a fundamental part, is it our role as government to select members of the supporting organization or, let's say, the ICAM board? We are here as GAC, and the nature of our role, we are expressing about opinion on almost all cross-cutting issues within the ICAN activity. So would it be our role to participate in selection of individuals for supporting organization or the board? Another question, there are certain positions in the ICAN that requests that the candidates are not affiliated with governments. Yet if the GAC will be there, then there is a government interest or a government role in selecting a candidate that is who should be a non-government affiliated individual. There is a contradiction, and I don't see how smooth is it. But maybe the GAC role will be better in making the process or in expressing some certain criteria regarding the qualification of a candidate or the transparency of the process itself, or maybe the selection of the non-com members, or what it means that someone is there based on his individual acting for the best of the community, including me as one community, part of many communities within the ICAN. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Kuwait. I have Argentina.
Thank you, Chair. A question to the non-com and some comments to reacting to our colleague comments in relation with Kuwait. QSI, there are different roles in the non-com. Some are observers and some are voting members. This is part of the discussions that we must have inside. One of the things that we would like to do with the working group from now on is preparing different scenarios of non-participation, participation through an observing role, participation with one voting or more than one voting role. So that's something that we have to develop among the working group and present to the GAC, and you're welcome to join us in the working group. One question to the non-com. Do you disclose among yourself, maybe you cannot answer this question, do you disclose the name of the candidates from the start of the process, or you do it at the end when you have to do the interviews? Why I'm asking this? I've done revision of papers, for example, in the university, and sometimes you receive the paper, you don't have the name of the people that it's writing it, but you have to, so you are totally objective in the way that you review the content. And at the end, sometimes you get the name and so that's, if you can answer the question.
Very quickly, please. Then we follow the speaker's list. Thank you.
Sure, yeah. The simple answer is yes. As soon as the application period closes, the identity of all the candidates are available to all non-com members.
Thank you. I have Portugal, Denmark, and the Netherlands. Portugal.
Thank you very much, and I would like to thank you to the working group for this amazing job that you are doing. And I think that the thing that we are here discussing, it's very good, because I never discussed such a thing since 2009 that I'm a member. So thank you very much, because I think that we are in the right way. My second point is that ICANN is very proud of its multi-stakeholder model. But governments are not on equal footing on this multi-stakeholder model. So I think that we have to find the right place for the governments to have a role here. Why? Because the public policies are not really part of the of your interests or of the company's registrars and of the other's interests. So I think that we are missing here something that is very important for the consumer, for the citizen, for everybody, that is the public policy. So I think that we have these two things. So governments are not on equal footing on this multi-stakeholder model. Sometimes, well, I must say that I think that I have to apologize. I'm here coming from a government, sorry. So I don't think that's the right feeling, right, because we are part of the community. But I understand that this issue is very complex. So to sum up, keep doing the very good work, because I think that we can achieve something. Thank you.
Thank you, Portugal. We have Denmark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you to the working group and to the non-com members coming here today and to explain it. I think from a Danish side, we share much of the concern raised today that government are participating here, or individual are participating coming from the government. We can see the problems and issue raised by the U.S., and we to a large extent share those concerns. I've heard the idea of criteria, and I have heard from you that it's way forward, and from our point of view, we think from a government point we can achieve the same thing by having criteria. We do not need to be present in every case and afterwards not be able to sharing with other colleagues there. Also from our point, we don't think it contradicts on equal footing. We have the possibility sometimes from government, we say, we are, thank you for the invitation, we are not coming. That is also our possibility. So we would like to look at the possibility for criteria, and also if there is other ideas how we can have liaisons or work together, that I think can move the thing forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Denmark. The Netherlands, please.
Yes, thank you, Thomas. I think along the lines of Denmark and others, we let's say the purpose of the NomCom and let's say the influence we want as governments in the NomCom process is to have people with a good affinity with public policy in the board. And in our opinion, this is not cannot be done by voting or being, let's say, government X saying that this guy should be there or this woman should be in the vote. This is not realistic, it's not feasible. It's something which we should also not endeavor to want to do this. So I think along our experience in the Netherlands is much more alongside the proposed criteria by HEMA. I think if we set down criteria, for example, that X percent of the board members or to be chosen members should have at least affinity with public policy coming out of administrations, we can write them down. I think this is much more feasible and suits better our role as governments. Thank you.
Thank you, Netherlands. I have Spain.
Thank you. I see that we have some comments in favor of drafting criteria also from the non-com side. We are encouraged to continue along that line. But I would like to answer very quickly the question raised by the Kuwait representative about if governments have to elect members to the board. Maybe this was a proposal made by the non-com working group or the joint working group on non-com. It hasn't been asked by the GAC. We have a role in ICANN, which is providing advice, but the community felt that there was some missing person or something missing in the selection of board members, and that was missing was the governmental perspective. So I think we should think how can we can help them in bringing that governmental perspective to board and other ASOs and ACs. And in that respect, we have not to forget that NONCON also select members for supporting organizations and advisory committees, and we are not advising GNSO, CCNSO, ALAC, and so on. We only advise the board. So maybe it is a good idea to have some governmental people or people with affinity with public policy interest in those supporting organizations, which are the ones which initiate policies. And just a quick question on the behavior of people in the non-com. You say that they act as individual in the best interest of the community, but I read in the paper that you propose that people vote by delegation. If they vote by delegation, maybe they are not acting just as individuals for the benefit of the whole community, but very much taking into account the interests of their community. Thank
you very much. Looking at the clock, we have 1 minute left. In case nobody insists in taking the floor, I see the U.S., I would urge you to be brief. Then we give final few seconds to the NOMCOM. Okay, the United States.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for indulging me. I will be brief. I just wanted to seek some clarification from HEMA from Spain. My understanding is that the current, as Stefan clarified, you are currently anticipating the single position, which has been vacant for many, many years for good reasons, we think. They've been outlined in a joint GAC board working group report, shared views in 2011. We're now at a point re-examining this, not because I believe the community has asked for it, HEMA. My understanding is it is a board working group that has proposed a set of recommendations that, again, my very informal understanding is they are not being entirely positively received in the rest of the community, if I may say. So I'm not entirely sure how much standing or weight we need to give to that. That doesn't necessarily direct us or guide us in any particular direction. And just a small comment to follow up on Finn's comment about the GAC and this concept of equal footing. I fully share his perspective, but I will just have to share with you, I think we certainly feel this way, and I would put money on it, that a whole lot of people in this organization think the GAC is actually first among equals, if you look at the ICANN bylaws and the role we have in terms of providing public policy advice. So Just wanted to clarify that. Thank you.
Thank you, US. Quick reaction from Stefan, and then we need to close. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all. Quickly to address what's been said, it's absolutely right that we are working under the same assumption as you have just mentioned, that we are looking at the current structure and nothing else. The board working group recommendations are they come out of the board. There was a recommendation to vote by delegation. That is something that may or may not be suggested to the full board, and then may or may not be passed on to the community. It is my informal understanding that the board working group recommendations are being looked at in the light of community comments that have indeed not always been positive, and that there will be new recommendations out in the near future. So, for us, certainly in coming to you today, we are not coming to you looking at anything beyond what we have today. The current structure, there's a seat, it's an empty seat, and our question is, do you want to fill it or not? And we've heard from you today that that may be or may not be difficult. That there are many questions for you in this room to answer, but at least now you have a face behind the black NomCom box, or faces, and you can seek us out and we can talk about it, and that will probably help. So it just remains for me to thank you once again for this opportunity. It's really been valuable for us. I hope it has been for you as well, and I really hope this conversation will continue. Sitting to my right is the expected chair for next year, and I know he's anxious to continue the conversation as well, so please let's do that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ron, and everybody, and I would also say this has been very useful. Before you run after the coffee break, which is scheduled, there's something that doesn't go for you, but for the GAC members, we would like to spend 5 minutes of the coffee break informing you of a session that has taken place this morning, a consultation session. Time passes quickly. It's already tomorrow today, so sorry for that. Actually, that was yesterday morning at 8, and not everybody was awake in the GAC, but some were and participated in a session to give some feedback on specification 11. You remember we were asked, not that one. Public safety. Okay, I give the floor to those who participated in that session. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Thomas. So there was a session yesterday morning with a number of law enforcement colleagues and GAC members to discuss a proposal for setting up a working group within the GAC to focus attention on clusters of issues around law enforcement, consumer protection and public safety. A number of GAC members, including I think four of the vice chairs, attended. And we talked through a number of issues, mostly procedural type issues, about how such an entity could work, if it's possible, how the membership could be constructed, and so on. So the intent of this is to bring in some of our experts into the work of the GAC and get them talking to each other, not always through their GAC representatives. So it'll be law enforcement representatives from multiple countries, consumer protection experts from multiple countries, potentially talking to each other directly, trying to resolve some of the complex issues that we are faced with, often relating to who is, safeguards, the balance between law enforcement needs and privacy law, and so on. From a procedural point of view, I think it's relatively straightforward, as we know, to set up working groups. The chair can move that we set it up, and it's relatively quick. My understanding, or my reading of the operating principles, is that there doesn't appear to be an issue with GAC representatives nominating what is called advisors in the operating principles to participate in working groups. So we could nominate members of our law enforcement agencies, of our privacy agencies and so on, to participate in such a working group. And the proposal is to set up, or at least to agree to set up, this working group here in Singapore, and that they then go off to work out a terms of reference or a charter or whatever term we decide, and an agenda, and then start to report back to the GAC at the next meeting. So my understanding is this would include who is, which is complicated. The GAC is always seeking to try to find the right balance on those kinds of issues. And we recently had a communication from the board, which potentially they could help us wade through and figure out where the key issues or the next steps for the GAC to be interested in would be. I'm not sure if I need to add much more, Thomas. That's what we discussed yesterday. And I think what we would be looking for here is some agreement from the GAC to set up a working group to look at these issues, whether we do it right now or sleep on it and then discuss it Thursday when we start to look at procedural issues in the next meeting and so on.
Thank you, Peter. And actually, there were two early morning meetings. There was another one this morning about Spec 11 security, and Olof has already sent an email to the GAC list informing about that. So life is very complicated sometimes, so sorry for that, creating that confusion. Please take in mind that this may actually be linked, since we talk about who is in law enforcement of law and data protection. That may also be relevant for the session that will come up after the coffee break, and we may think of whether these things are linked. But this is all new, so let's digest it over a coffee, feed it into the next session, and then we can also continue to discuss operational activities like setting up working groups and so on, with whom and without whom, on Thursday. Thank you very much. Now it's the coffee break. Or does anybody have an idea that would like defer us from the coffee break for a little longer?